Hi, rodeo fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last 7 moves, and tonight he's gonna try and make it 8. Here comes the bull down.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, rodeo fans and making 8 maniacs. That's right. Time for another Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. Now, I will tell you that we have got a great show lined up today, but where in the world is everybody? Man, it's quiet out there. But, yeah. Maybe it's just hard getting everybody online to get things started right there, you know, at the start. I don't know. Maybe we'll just have to give everybody a 15-minute head start. We're going to tell everybody our show now starts at 10:45, and then maybe they'll be here at 11. Who knows? Anyhow, got to let you guys know, first off, I'm a little bummed today. It's kind of a sad day for the Tampa Bay fans, as the Texas Rangers did win the series yesterday. They're in Tampa, winning both games down there and cleaning up. I mean, you know, Rays started off really good, won their first game, and didn't do anything since then. So, anyhow, congratulations to those Texas Rangers and all the fans out there that are tuned in. I was really hoping that we'd have them there, but my Bucks did win this week, so I am a little happier than what I would have been. Anyhow, I also want to let you guys know that Saturday is going to be a pretty darn good day. Going to pack up the family and heading back down there to the Texas area. Going down to Waco, as a matter of fact, and going to be hanging out with a couple of the Making 8 Maniacs, and I'm excited about it, you know, to have an opportunity to meet up with Miss Gabby and Lisa. It's going to be a great time, and I'm just excited about it. I'm going to bring the whole family down. I'm going to spend the day at the fair, so we're going to have an opportunity to spend some time down there and just really have a good time. They're having a rodeo down there that night. I don't know if we'll stay for the whole thing. The kids will probably be pretty wound down, and we'll have a longer drive ahead of us to get home, but, you know, it's going to be well worth the trip, and I really look forward to the opportunity to be able to run into some of our Making 8 Maniacs out there. You know, you guys have been so great. We've been such good friends, and speak of the angel herself, Ms. Gabby, is joining us here on the show, and I know she's back home with her family. She's got her brother in town, and want to wish her the best, and hopefully everything's going great for you out there, and just cannot wait for Saturday. It's going to be a good time, and you know, we'll have a great day, and just to be able to spend it with the Making 8 fans. Make sure we've got cameras on hand so we can take lots of pictures. Miss Gabby, like I said, I cannot tell you how excited we are as well. And then, you know, we're really hoping that Miss Donna Davis would be there, but she is still just not 100% after having those kidney stones and all that. So, unfortunately, I don't think she's going to be able to make it there. I really wish we'd have an opportunity to run into her, but that's all right. We'll just have to make a second trip down there to Wichita Falls and go give her a hard time, too. So, bringing up Susan would be a great thing as well. Hey, let's get all of the Making 8 Maniacs. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to be down there in the Lone Star State this Saturday and you'll want to come down to hang out with us, please, we will be at the rodeo or at the fair down there, the Heart of Texas Fair, and right there in Waco, and we will be happy to run into you, and we'll all hang out and have ourselves a great time. Hopefully, if the fair does not have those little teacup things, because I can't ride those teacup deals too well. And, yeah, I would end up sick, and I don't want that. So we got to stay far away from those. But, yeah, we're going to let the kids ride some rides and all that. It's kind of a cool thing because it's also like a Parents Appreciation Day down there. So we are going to have the opportunity to get in for free down there, and then we'll just buy the armbands and let the kids run around and have themselves a great time. So, yep. Lots of fun down there this Saturday. I cannot wait. It's going to be a great time. And was hoping to do it Friday, maybe do a live remote from down there. But I don't think we're going to get that far. It's just going to be too much for us and kids out of school and everything else. So, yeah, you definitely don't want me sick out there and make for a really bad day. Hopefully the weather will be good for us and we can just really hang out and have ourselves some fun. I am going for the food. That's right. I am definitely going for the food. And we'll be eating lots of food there at the fair. As a matter of fact, Mrs. McInnay may not even feed me on Friday night. So I will definitely, but if you guys saw my post from this past weekend, of course, I got up in the morning early and hit the road and was really looking forward to having some breakfast down there at the stockyards, and it didn't happen. And by noontime, I was cranky. So, yeah, from what I understand, there was a parade down there in Waco yesterday. Should have been a good time. Now, I was just in a parade down in Wetumpka, Oklahoma, just a couple weeks ago with G-Money Rodeo, and that was a lot of fun. I remember, you know, hanging out and cruising up and down, but, man, I'm telling you, when you're out there with the rodeo crowd, it really makes things a lot of fun. Do want to let you guys know that we do have phone lines open. 646-915-9940 is the number to call. Make sure to push 1 on your phone if you do want to talk to us. You got questions, you got comments about rodeo, Western stuff, PBR, CBR, PRCA, you name it, we'll talk about it right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. And, well, of course, we're always looking for our cowboy logic. Now, we do have Miss Melanie hanging out here with us, and she has sent in some great cowboy logic for the day. Cannot wait to get that out there, and we'll get that out from our biggest little fan coming up later on in our show. We're going to take our first break here, fans, and remind you guys to go check out robsmet.com. He is, I'm telling you, a big supporter of Making Eight and what we're doing right here on the Making Eight Rodeo Network, and we're glad to have him a part of it. But also want to mention our good friends at Wrangler. So stay tuned, rodeo fans. We got CJ Solar coming up right after this, so stay tuned.
Well, as the saying goes, long live cowboys. So if you want to be like a cowboy, dress like a cowboy, there's only one way to go. Wrangler jeans and shirts, that's the place to be. Be there or be square. From the low cuts to the cowboy cuts, they've got them all. Wrangler jeans and shirts. Take it from me, world champion Rob Smets, being a cowboy runs in your jeans.
Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with the Megan 8 Rodeo Network, and we are kicking things off here on a Wednesday afternoon, morning, whatever the case is in your neck of the woods. But, man, I'm telling you, we are running short down here in our chat room. And, wow, you know, kind of surprised, but that's all right. We'll keep rolling through it, and know that a lot of fans are tuning in on the archives and catching us after the show airs, and we are glad to have you out there. I got to tell you, man, you guys keep posting it out there, getting the word out, letting the fans know about us. As we got a lot to talk about. Now, today's guest is going to be really good, and we're going to talk with him here shortly. So, you guys, make sure to stay tuned. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. A little bit of a surprise, kind of one that will throw you off. We've never had this guy on our show before, and I think you're going to like it. So, yeah, I see that some of our comments coming in our chat room. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm having a hard time believing that folks wouldn't like me. I mean, how could you not like me? You know, really. And if you guys have been following along there on Facebook, you've seen that, you know, I mean, if anything, just like my horse. So, but my horse is not on here to talk, so I guess that's why they're not here. Yeah, and I did get to do a little bit more riding yesterday. I've been riding just about every day and loving it. Oh, man, I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, I've got my spurs on right now. And hopefully, if I can get out of town here fast enough here this afternoon, I'll be able to get a little ride in then. Weather's kind of cool today down here in Oklahoma, and a little breezier than it has been. It's about 75, perfect weather. This is the type of weather down. Man, I'm telling you, I'll, you know, open up the doors and the windows and just let that cool breeze blow on in there. Great time. I love it. Love it this time of year. You know, and definitely cannot complain about the scenery down here. Man, sakes alive, just beautiful down here. So, well, yeah, we're, looks like we do have some fans tuned in on the phone lines here. I'm just checking out my Twitter and trying to keep up with everything. Man, everything's kind of happening out there. Also, got to make mention, the Ada Bullfights are going on in just a couple weeks, I think in about 2 weeks, 21st and 22nd, and we will be there for it. So we're going to have lots to talk about there. I believe we're going to a PRCA rodeo this weekend down there in Waco at that Heart Rodeo or Heart of Texas Fair. They are going to have the rodeo down there, and I know that Miss Gabby is with us. I know that she asked me a question earlier today, and I'll go ahead and answer it right here on the air. But, yeah, Miss Gabby was asking about a day sheet for that Saturday's PRCA event, and I'm not real sure how to go about getting one. May want to check out the PRCA website or that same link that you had posted me out there. And they may have one there. I'm not sure who is actually producing it. I believe it's a PRCA sanctioned deal, but I don't know who's producing the event. Otherwise, I'd try to get down there and find out for you. But we may be able to find out. We still got a couple more days left. It's Wednesday, halfway through the work week. Well, Miss Gabby's going to have to run off here, but I want to say thanks for jumping on board, and it's great to see you. Cannot wait to meet you and Miss Lisa on Saturday. So looking forward to it. Now, I'm not sure if you even told her that I'd be there, but I know she said, or you had told me earlier that she may never talk to you again if you didn't bring her with. So, yes, we're looking forward to meeting you both, meeting the family, and, yeah, let's have some fun on Saturday. Cannot wait. So enjoy the time with your brother, though, in the meantime. Anyway, getting back down to it here, man, what a great day it's going to be. We've got a guest that we've got to get lined up here momentarily, and we're going to get that locked in, so make sure to stay tuned. This is going to be a great deal. Just trying to go through and see what is happening out there in the rodeo world and in the world of Facebook and Twitter. You guys know I don't multitask very well to begin with. But, all right. Anyhow, well, I'm glad, you know, that we've got some of our fans that are hanging out with us in our chat room. And if you guys are listening to us on the archives and, you know, you want to make it over here between 11 and 12 Central Time, You know, come on down, sign up with Blog Talk. Doesn't cost you anything. You build a little screen name or whatnot, register with them or whatever, and, you know, come on over here and chat with us. We'd love to get your questions or your comments there if we can't get you on the phone line. Speaking of, phone lines are open, so if you guys do want to give us a call and talk a little rodeo, 646-915-9940. We'll be happy to jump on board here with you. So, anyways, getting on down to it, see if we can't give our guest a call here. I'm going to see if we can't get him on board. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will hopefully have our guest on board. So make sure to stay tuned. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network.
Red face in the pen, he was gentle, put in the shoes, a bucking those shoes. Mind over matter keeps you on parade. It doesn't matter when they open that gate for this living explosion with the dark red shell. He give you a ride through hell. Every few years a man comes along who knows what he's doing and won't do it wrong. He'll conquer the odds, he'll pass the test, above and beyond, higher than the best. So what do you do when you've done it all? You've climbed every mountain and jumped every wall. Where the chance comes along like a great big feast, the chance for the hero to ride the red beast. He said he can be beat, he's just a one of the rest, but he couldn't be tamed cause he gave him his best. He's ready to go, so don't be a fool. He jumps like a rabbit and kicks like a mule. He's quicker than a quarter horse, aggressive as a hawk, this mountain of muscle.
This is Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.
All right, welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Makin8.com. That's right, kicking things off on a Wednesday afternoon. Now, I will tell you that we did talk about it. We've got a great guest lined up here for today. And, you know, this guy is actually going to be at the PBR Heroes and Legends reunion coming up here at the end of the month for the PBR World Finals. And not only is he going to be there, he's also been inducted into the PBR Ring of Honor. He is one of the original founders of the PBR. I guess he hung up his spurs back in 2000, but it is a great pleasure to find out a little bit about this guy, Mr. Clint Branger. Clint, welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Well, shoot, it is an absolute pleasure to have you. Now, you actually, most of the time, you actually go by Roscoe, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. That's what everybody used to call me anyway.
Back in the day, huh? Now, you actually rode bulls for 15 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I did it. Well, actually, you know, people ask me that question a lot of times, and I like to tell them, you know, from 1985 till 2000, but actually, you know, it's that's not true. I started riding bulls, and it was yearling bulls, but it was still bulls when I was 12 years old. And I rode bulls from the time I was 12 years old until I was 35 years old. Now, I started riding steers when I, you know, I started riding calves when I was 6, steers when I was 9, and bulls when I was 12. But I actually started riding bulls when I was 12 years old. So, you know, truthfully, I rode time, you know, I rode a lot more years than just 15, you know, bulls.
Wow. Well, now growing up, you were actually did a lot of your riding in the PRCA, and then you were actually one of the original founders there of the PBR, along with so many others like Cody Custer and Cody Lambert and Tuff Hedeman and the rest of those guys. Is that correct?
That's very true. Very true. I came up through the ranks though too. I had a lot of amateur associations around Montana. A lot of good talent was at those. At those rodeos, a lot of people were talking down the PRCA at that time. You know, that was right after I got out of high school and was in college. So I kind of went through my IRA days too, if you could really say it, because it was kind of like a step down from the IRA. The amateur rodeos were, but I actually went through a lot of transition there. I went through, and then I college rodeoed too. I college rodeoed 2 years, and I made the college finals in 1985, and I won the college, I won the finals, and I won the year-end in the college deal in 1985. Then I never went back to school, and I just, you know, I filled my card in 85 also, and then cracked out pretty hard in 86 and ended up like 23rd. In the standings that year. And then in 1987, I qualified for my first NFR, rodeoing with Joe Wimberly. And Joe was a great traveling partner. He still has a way of testing my nerves to this day. but I mean, I give him all the credit. He helped me get to my first NFR, and he's a great guy. Joe is a great bull rider. Probably has one of the strongest hearts of any guy that I ever been around. Absolutely no talent, but he had the heart that most people that I've seen, if they only knew what kind of heart Joe Wimberly had, they would want it.
Right. I'll tell you what. Well, you know, we see a lot of that as well in his son, in McKinnon Wimberly. You know, of course, nowadays you see a lot of these fans that we have here with us right now that are tuned in, you know, really follow along with McKinnon. And, you know, of course, a lot of his upbringing and a lot of his talent that he has comes from the knowledge that, you know, he got from Joe.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not going to darn sure give all the credit to Joe that McKinnon, because Joe will tell me, you know, he'll say, you know, he got, you know, Joe always teased me about that I was born with natural ability, God-given natural ability, which I'll give that, you know, I'll give that over, you know, and I praise God for that, thanking God for giving me the natural ability to be able to ride bulls. But I also thank him for giving me the try, the heart, and the desire to do it. And dang sure Joe did that with McKinnon. You know, I can see that in him. And he's one of them guys that he will not let go until his head hits the ground. And that's a true testament to the bull riders in this era. There's still guys out there that'll hang on until the end. You know, if the end is the next jump, they're going to hang on and see if they can ride one more jump. And that's the way McKinnon is.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, we actually had the pleasure of meeting up with him personally. Now, he's been on our radio shows, but we've actually had the opportunity to meet him this past weekend. He was down at an event in Eastland, Texas. So, you know, it was really great to meet him. And I look forward to actually meeting Joe as well. Let's talk a little bit about you riding back in those days, you know, back in 1985, 86, 87, you know, being able to travel with those guys. Now, was Joe the only guy you really traveled with, or did you get to travel with a lot of other guys as well?
Well, you know, we got in and out of the vehicles with everybody. That was one of the nicest things that the bull riders don't get today. They
yep.
don't get to jump in a vehicle with the saddle bronc riders, the bareback riders, the calf ropers, the team ropers, the bulldoggers. And even we got in with some barrel racers, you know. I mean, and some of the ladies that were driving us around in barrel racing were teachers from Montana, you know, ladies that I looked up to like I would my mother. I mean, so we got to have a taste of everything, and we got to see different ways of people living their lives. And, you know, darn sure the bronc riders, they live a little differently than bull riders. They don't live as flamboyantly. They're more conservative. They, you know, they're just a different breed. And I really not saying anything negative about them. I admire the way that they live, and I admire their way of going about their lives. And that's exactly how I tried to pattern myself. Even as a bull rider, I tried to pattern myself more as a mentality of a bronc rider, because I really admire the way the old-fashioned type way that they are, and ground ruts type people that they are. I come from a cattle ranch in Montana. I'm on the ranch right now, the same one that my dad spent his whole life on. And we run cattle and horses on this ranch, just like when I was raised here. But I really, really, I like being around horses, and I learned a lot about animals from horses, which helped me in my bull riding too. You know, like say, being able to be around in '85. In that era, and being able to travel and go to all the rodeos that we could, and in and out of all the vehicles that we got in and out of, traveling and getting to know people. I mean, you lock yourself in a little vehicle for, you know, 10 hours, 24 hours, however long that trip would be. You're going to know that person when you get out of that vehicle. And so that was one of the things, too, that was awful good. It was leaving Montana and going out rodeoing was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it got me out and got me around other people, and to see different ways of living, different ways of even the climates, you know, and people doing different things and making their living different ways. So it was very beneficial to me, and it opened a lot of doors for me. And I'm a better person today, and I can deal with life a little better than I ever would have if I'd have just stayed here and not gotten out and gotten to see the things that I was able to see.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. You know, that was one thing that you just made mention about is one thing that you believe that the Cowboys nowadays, the Bull Riders nowadays, that they don't get to see is that experience of being able to jump in that car and travel with six other guys and be crammed in there for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know, sometimes longer. But, you know, what is it, I mean, what do you think has changed so much in the difference between the rodeos that you were going to back in those times and what these guys are getting out to do now?
You know, personally, the only thing that I see that's really changed a lot, and I experienced it, you know, from probably sometime between, 95 and 2000, the last 5 years that I rode bulls, the bulls were getting... You know, the bulls were getting better then. You know, they were better a lot more. You know, like everybody says, you know, there's not a lot of really better bucking bulls. There's just a lot more. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I agree with that, you know, because I can darn sure see there's just whenever you show up and look down the draw, and like I experienced it a little bit, like in 2000, last year that I rode bulls, 99 and 2000, you know, I would show up, and I was mounted every time I showed up. I wasn't in my prime anymore. I was darn sure getting long in the tooth, and probably didn't have any business being there strapping my hand in the bull rope anyway, but I did notice that every time that I showed up and I looked down the list, I would kind of cringe and say, ooh, I didn't really want that one. But really, when I looked down the list, it'd be, well, I'm glad I didn't got that one, and I'm glad I don't got that one, and I'm glad I don't have that one. So I didn't draw too bad after all.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it is definitely, that's the biggest thing that I can see that's changed. Other than that, you know, the training, they seem to have more time to train, it does seem like. I don't know if any of them, some of them I think even have trainers. So that's awesome, you know, to be able to have somebody that's going to motivate them and get them up in the mornings when they have an off day or whatever and get into the gym or get into the, just getting up upstairs in the hotel and getting them on an elliptical or just whatever. That is huge because fitness is everything. I mean, fitness is everything in what I do on the ranch today. And I exercise and train about as hard as I did as when I was riding bulls. And so it's very beneficial to see that. And then I don't even know if some of them aren't, you know, with those trainers, you know, they're darn sure getting some not only physical help, but they're getting probably some mental help from those trainers too, which would be huge too, because it's definitely a mind game, bull riding is, and when things aren't going good, it's easy to get down on yourself, and then when you do get down on yourself, it's not the type of sport that you want to be picking on yourself, because when you tie your hand in on one of them bulls, you better be ready.
That's right. Well,
you know,
while you're talking about that, Clint, one of the big things that I've noticed looking over your career and some of your stats was you rode one of the rankest bulls of all time, and let alone that one of the highlight bulls back then at that time in Bodacious. Not once, but you actually covered him twice. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I covered him both times in Guthrie, Oklahoma. So I was very fortunate to to be able to have the opportunity to get on that bull, and I look at it today as an opportunity. Back then, I didn't like him. I was scared of him. I'm still scared of him. To this day, I'll be scared of him, but that's just showing that I have respect for the bull. I'm not scared of him to say that I run from him. I'm just scared of him is because he was just such an exceptional, outstanding athlete. And I truly respect that animal. And, you know, looking back on it today, the biggest thing that I got from Bodacious was in 1994 when I drew him at the last go-round of the PBR Finals, the first PBR Finals, which was in the MGM where they're having a lot of the stuff for the legends is at the MGM, which is kind of fun that it's there to go back to that same place. But the biggest thing was is in 94 I had him in the short round and didn't ride him, and it cost me a lot of things, but I also grew up a lot that day. And so then to come back in February of 95 and draw him in Guthrie and ride him there for 92 points was probably one of the greatest things personally, a personal achievement that I ever achieved. And to this day, you know, it still is one of the, you know, crowning, shining achievements of mine. A personal achievement, you know. Even though bucking off of him that day in '94 cost me, you know, looking back on it, I cost myself. If I could have just rode him another, probably two jumps, I'd have probably, you know, got a score. So I'm responsible for that, and I take full responsibility of that. But looking back on it, and then to say, okay, you know, I did conquer that animal. So it, just as a personal achievement, that's probably one of the highlights. It is one of the highlights of my whole career.
You bet. Well, it's not only one of the biggest highlights of your career, but it's one of the biggest highlights in rodeo. You know, if you go back and you look at some of the stats and you really do some research on Bodacious, that is one of the things that will always stand out is how yourself actually made that ride and scored 92 points on him. It's just amazing, you know, the determination. Now, speaking of a bull like that, of that caliber, there's a bull out there now in the PBR circuits by the name of Bushwhacker, who has not been ridden on the PBR Built for Tough series, is obviously in the running for Bull of the Year right now. And guys are really starting to pick him because of that determination and because of what they saw in cowboys like yourself back then. They're trying to role model themselves and say, you know, that if they can do it on a bull like Bodacious, then maybe we can do it on a bull like Bushwhacker. So it certainly stands out.
Yeah, I don't watch the PBR, but I do watch it when it's on TV and I'm sitting in the chair, I'll darn sure watch it. It just, me lining that all up and not having TiVo and all that stuff. But during the PBR finals, I don't miss the PBR finals. I enjoy watching the PBR finals, and I like watching it from my television in my house better than anywhere. But even though I'm looking forward to going to Legends, I'm excited about going down for that. But I watched him go the other day on TV, and I can't remember where the event was. But I saw it was a current event. You know, it was either the last one or the previous one before the next couple that they've had. But they showed some tapes of that bull before they bucked him in the rodeo, and I looked at the tapes and I was like, wow, that bull there is a step above everything that I have seen since Bodacious. I have not seen a bull step up to the plate and look anything like Bodacious since Bodacious. And that bull right there is one of those kind. I can't say that he's, you know, he doesn't buck like him, but he does resemble him and buck like him in certain ways. He is one of the exceptional animals that I have seen out there, and I really feel like that bull can stay sound that he'll be a legend too in a short time.
Absolutely, in a very short time. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of your highlights that you went over. I mean, what would you say one of your biggest highlights would have been? Would it have been covering Bodacious, or are there? I'm sure there's many in a 15-year career that you can recall.
Well, you know, definitely, you know, by not winning a PRCA world title and by not winning a PBR world title, when my name is when somebody introduces me, you know, I'm not typically might not be known by people that aren't involved in the rodeo and know the history of the last 20 years, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'll be referred to then after my name is brought up as one of the seven guys that rode Bodacious. So, you know, that is definitely one of the crowning achievements of my career. You know, just to highlight a few of the others was San Antonio. I was a three-time winner of San Antonio. I won Denver twice. I won Houston once, and I won Calgary once. Those were definitely highlights. Winning the college title was definitely a highlight.
Sure.
Being 96 points on Yellow Jacket in Reno, Nevada, you know, Yellow Jacket's daddy, those are definitely highlights. I'm raising a bucking bull today that Sunnybrook was Yellow Jacket's daddy. But anyway, Sunnybrook, a guy had a straw from Sunnybrook, and I had some cows here that I bred. I got a bull from Lloyd Ketchum, and I just turned them out on our cows that we had here at home, and then I raised all the heifers that I had out of that bull and kept them. Well, this guy had a Sunnybrook straw, and I had a cow that I really liked her mentality. She wasn't extremely wild, even though she was a nice built, good-looking, bucking-size mama-type animal.
Right.
And we AI'd her with that straw from Sunnybrook, and she settled, and she had a heifer. And I ran that heifer for 3 years, and then I AI bred her to Houdini. I got from Gene Owens, I got a straw from him, and we inseminated that cow with the Houdini straw. And very, very fortunately, this spring, then I got a bull calf out of her. So I'm raising that animal. I'm just going to wean him here in the next probably week to 10 days. But hopefully I'm going to give Tom Teague a phone call and see if he has any interest in this calf. And I'd like to maybe send him his way and see if Tom could just bring the bull up and see what happens, you know. Just roll. He's my one bull that I've raised that I'm going to roll the dice on, and hopefully I'll have some luck with him.
Well, good deal. We look forward to maybe seeing him out there. Do you have a name for him yet, or just a brand?
The only name that I have for him right now, actually, after he was born, I had to. About the third day, I went out there and checked on him. He had a hump in his back, and he was gant. And I didn't know what to do, so I got horseback and run the mama and him in. And I thought maybe something was wrong with her bag or something was wrong with her milk. So I got a rope around her head, and I got a rope around her legs, her back feet, and got her tied off to a couple posts. And actually, she did very well. I just had to do that, but she actually let me get down there and make sure that her bag was okay, her milk was fine, everything was fine with her. And I got to talking to a close friend of mine that's John Bugue. He's been a veterinarian at the National Finals Rodeo many times. But he lives right over here at Red Lodge. But I got on the phone with him and talked with him, and he mentioned one thing about had the calf, you know, gone to the bathroom. And I was like, you know what, his hind end is awful clean, so I don't know. So I went out and I gave him just, I mixed up just a little warm water and dish soap, and took a small syringe and just shot some of that right back there in his hind end. And by golly, the next morning, he had pooped all over the alleyway of my barn and was hungry and ready to go. And he's never missed a step since then. But he reminded me of my wife came out one day and said, you know, he looks just like a goat. And so when he was going through that, the name goat got tagged on him. So I don't know where that's going to go or not, but that is the name that I have on him right now.
Well, you know, that would be an interesting name to see and see some of these younger cowboys come out there and get on a bull named Goat. We'd like to see it.
And I'll guarantee you, he don't look like no goat. He's a cool looking guy. I mean, he's got some ear on him. He's got some horn growing now, and he's got a small hump. So he definitely looks the part. And so I'm real excited to see in the next 2 years to see what happens. You know, where what he gets done and what might happen with him. And actually, too, I raised some bucking horses, too. So I'm doing a little more contracting or staying in the rodeo business a little more than I even thought. So it's been fun. I really enjoyed raising the bucking horses, too, which works out really good for me, being where we're at, and we're surrounded by Angus cattle around here anyway.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, we really look forward to seeing you out in Las Vegas there for the Heroes and Legends reunion there at the MGM. I know it's going to be a great time. The fans are going to love it, and the fans that are tuned in right now, I'm sure, are going to get a little better understanding of Clint. And, you know, they're going to have a, you know, they're going to be able to kind of recognize you when they see you out there. So I want to recommend to all the fans that they go out there and spend a little time, you know, maybe doing a little bit of homework on you and finding out. But, man, so many accomplishments in your 15-year career and such a role model for even some of the younger ones coming up. Like I said, you know, you see any more with the bulls, and they have this draft now, and you see a lot of these cowboys that are actually picking a bull like Bushwhacker because they want their name mentioned just like yours is, you know.
They
may never have that opportunity to be crowned a world champion, but that's one thing that will always stand out is your career and your ride with Bodacious, you know. Not too many people can say that.
Well, and then I'd like to end, too. I mean, it seems like we're getting close, but I would definitely want to say that the biggest role model that I had in my career, too, and the man that I still look up and think about sometimes minutely is Lane Frost. I was able to rodeo with them, him and Tuff and Jim Sharp. And we were together in Cheyenne when that happened that day, and then I was a pallbearer at his funeral later on. But, you know, just a true testament of a very fine man. And today I still think of the things that he said to me, and he really, truly role modeled me by his actions more than his words.
Cool.
But unbelievably, a true testament of a man that knew the Lord, and I just really want to say, you know, since I have the opportunity just to really thank him.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, we've had the pleasure of meeting both Clyde and Elsie Frost as well, and we know that where his upbringing comes from, and you're absolutely
exactly
right. He's always been a man to lead by example, and that's so important in the world today. So, you know, Clint, like I said, I think that, you know, there may be more out there that do recognize you as one of those role models as well, and we're glad for that. Rodeo needs that, and this industry needs that. So thank you for what you've given to the sport, and we certainly appreciate it. And like I said, really excited about having you out there at the PBR Heroes and Legends reunion.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And like I say, rodeo and the bull riding just keep returning the favors back to me. And like I say, I also want to just thank the PBR and thank the entire sport of rodeo for role modeling me and making me the person that I am today, because it's truly been an enjoyable it's not been easy. It's definitely not been easy, but it's been a wonderful life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Absolutely. Well, Clint, thank you very much for taking time out of your day. I know you've been working hard on the ranch, but thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us, and we look forward to catching up with you again here real soon.
All right, Scott, I appreciate that, and thank you for having me on your show. It was truly an honor.
Absolutely. Well, take care and be blessed.
All right, Scott.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Clint Branger, now, I will tell you that this guy, wow, what a personal role model he is to me. I mean, having an opportunity to sit down and talk with a guy like that, so much history and so much knowledge to share, not only about the sport of bull riding, but also in life. I mean, this is a true cowboy, and, you know, you just don't see that very often anymore, and it's glad that I'm very glad that it still exists. But got to thank him for sure. And, of course, thank you all the fans out there for tuning in and listening. Make sure to go follow along. You can find him. He's got Pro Bull Stats out. You know, we were able to do some research there. You can find him on PBRNow.com's website. Do some research on him. And I think that you're going to find, you know, obviously, like I said, we went and did a little research as well. One of the seven men to actually ride one of the rankest bulls in rodeo history, and that being Bodacious, not once, but twice. And that says a lot for how good of an athlete he was. Obviously, like I said, one of the founding members of the PBR, retiring in 2000, just a great, great role model for anybody else that's coming up through the, through the ranks nowadays. He is certainly one that you want to role model yourself after. So I got to thank Clint once again. We are almost fresh out of time here, guys, so we are going to wrap up our show. But before we do, we're going to go 3 for 3 and do our cowboy logic for the day. Now, this is some great cowboy logic, giving it to us courtesy of our biggest little fan, Miss Melanie Britton. And I got to thank her once again for that. Let's see if I can get over here and find it. Here is your cowboy logic for the day. If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. Now, that is some great cowboy logic, and everybody needs to make sure that they think about those words. And I'm going to run them by one more time because I believe that they're that good. If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. And that, to me, says it all. So thank you, Miss Melanie, for giving us those words today on our cowboy logic. And, well, shoot, we have just had ourselves a great time on this show. If you guys really enjoyed it, make sure to repost it out there on your Facebook and on your Twitter. And this is definitely one to hang on to. You know, this is a guy that has been up and down that rodeo road. And to be able to learn and understand a little bit more about Clint Branger, or Roscoe, as he's known back home or back in his rodeo days, wow. Excellent. So we also want to thank our friends there at CLG, Chris Watson and the gang. We want to send a big old howdy to you, Christopher Watson. I know that you guys are tuning in to us, and we sure appreciate everything that you guys do over there at CLG. If you want some great rough stock bull riding gear, make sure to get over to CLG. You can find it right there. They'll put you in line with the local dealer, the closest local dealer to you. So, anyways, that is going to wrap up our show here today, fans. Once again, we'll be back at it tomorrow, Thursday, 11 o'clock Central Time, right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. Until then, get a grip.
Thanks for tuning in with Making 8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
radio on.
Oh, yes, turn your radio on.
And listen to the music.
This is your old buddy Gizmo McCracken. We've been to Cheyenne, we've been to Fort Worth, we've been to Salinas Rodeo, and we're on the Making A Rodeo Network, so keep this thing plugged in, because you don't need that kind of aggravation.